welcome to Cannon Crew, a weekly podcast discussing the Charleston Battery. Your host, Granite, will be joined by other defenders of the fleet from the Black and Yellow Supporters section, and together they will help fortify and conquer. They are the Cannon Crew.
Welcome to the Cannon Crew podcast. This is Granite, and I'm joined by Patrick. How you doing, Patrick?
What's up, Brad?
Ryan.
Hey, doing good. How are you?
Good. So we're here to talk about the battery and their recent escapade up to Indy and up to the Brickyard and our 4-2, I think, beat down. Is that right? Or made them black and yellow. We made the boys in blue black and yellow. I think that's what we did. Let's talk about, first off, the lineup changes.
We didn't see much. Only player we saw come off was Torres, and Gutierrez back on for this game, but turnkey for the rest of the squad. So really, that was it.
Not much of a change. Coach Pierman's doing a little tweaking here and there. We'll talk about some significant change we think that is kind of interesting later on. First, let's talk about first half and an excellent goal by Emilio Icaza. Comes in, a little give and go, and he puts it right just calmly in traffic at the back of the net.
It was a great goal all around from a team effort. It comes from a great distribution by Grinny. Unfortunate by Nick to hold on to the ball, but Icaza comes right through with strength, poise, wins the ball, 1-2, give and goes, and puts in the back of the net. It was beautiful.
Yeah, first goal of the year, too. I mean, 5 starts, finally gets one in there for as much work as he's been doing on the field. He also had like a slight chance right in front of goal about a minute before this. So I think he was just warming up for this one, but he did do the legwork to get that ball out to Nick to start that whole movement as well, which is nice to see.
Yeah, he's worked hard all the matches he's played in. Got a couple unlucky yellow cards. The work ethic he's put in is really paid off on this goal. I mean, it was just simply, I mean, it was really just a beautiful give and go, passing it off and then picking it back up to continue the run. And just so many defenders around him, but he was very good at clinically putting it in the back of the net.
Yeah, slots at home. I'm surprised that ball made it to him, but I think it was just the perfect ball across from Nick to find him sitting there, making that effort, showing what every other player should be doing on the field, and you'll be rewarded with a chance.
I think it goes to the discussion about off the ball play. Put you in a good space and position to receive it and do great things with it. And I think Icaza showed here that his ability to do that was working out very well.
Oh, yeah. He never stopped his motion once on the play. He continued his run and continued to keep himself in a position where he was behind his defender and had the space to get into the attack to score the goal. It was perfect.
Yeah, I think that confidence just builds knowing that Nick's in such form too, that like he's going to make something happen. So just go for it and you may just get something off of this.
You can really see the level of soccer IQ has risen from last year into this year. It's exciting to see.
So this Nick guy, we'll talk about a little bit later. I think he's all right though, right? So he got the assist on this goal, Icaza.
He did.
And I think he might have had some spectacular things later that was was recognized by the USL. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. What the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. And there was back-to-back goals against us. Patrick, as a defender, talk me through it.
Yeah. I mean, the first goal is just, I think Smith just was trying to shield him outside and notice he wasn't trying to bite on that. So instead of shifting his body over and get a little closer, close out the space, he almost took a step back and opened it up for the Indy player to just take a shot, have that goal. And it was a well-placed goal, but as a defender, you can't be giving up this kind of space at the 18-yard line. I mean, you're the center back. You should be closing that outside the box and blocking it, if not making a foul or doing something to just not give a free open look on goal.
Yeah, exactly. And as a keeper standpoint, rewatching the goal, you can make the plea for Graham about how he was trying to defend. He tried to force him out wide. He didn't really have much help out wide. Couldn't really slow the play down because the guy had pace over him, rather than shifting him towards the inside where he had Archer and help inside. But when he did, he shifted the wrong shoulder and gave him that 2 yards of space where the guy did take advantage and get the shot off. And it was just well placed. But when you're given that amount of space at this level, you can best believe the shot should come.
Because I know what the end result is, I'm going to say that was a fantastic goal on their part. But revenge is a dish best served cold, I do believe.
Well, they did get one more about 20 seconds after this one, which is incredibly annoying to see. Just our kickoff, trying to play the ball a little bit. And honestly, I thought it might have been a foul against Markkanen on the way that they took the ball off of him. I mean, the ref really didn't even pay it any attention, didn't wave play on, didn't do anything. And they just countered quickly. Like, this has been a battery issue that we've seen a little bit now, is if a team's going to play as fast paced as this in a counterattack, they had five guys in the box. Our midfield was just a little too flat. You can't ask four defenders to cover five guys in the box. And they were left wide open on the back post, and two guys, take your pick, goes A.
So we seemed a little susceptible to these counterattacks. What can we do differently to kind of insulate ourselves from that?
Honestly, I think if we're playing the ball forward, play the ball back and shift it around the line and push the field up a little bit to give you a little more breathing room. If they're going to press you, if you're passing the ball past them and switching the field back two or three times, they're going to lay the press off a little bit because it's just going to wear them out in about 10 minutes. So I don't know. I mean, this one was unfortunate, but there's not really much more you can do than let the ball do the work for you.
Yeah, at this moment in the game, they have to realize that they have to stay focused, tuned in the entire time, and that you have to go by the referee's whistle. If he's not going to blow it, you got to get up and you got to keep going. It's just plain and simple as that. That's the nature of the game. Until the referee blows his whistle, there's nothing to be said. Right. So it is unfortunate, but end of the day, we got to respond to the mistakes that we created in the back. And it looks like we did with this guy named Nick.
This Nick guy, who is this guy? Last week, he's running around with a brace, right? And then he wants to show off a little more with a fantastic goal. I don't know. Patrick, do you think it was a pretty good goal?
Not much to talk about. Big Dig Nick just takes the ball left-footed, smashes it, side top bends. Like, what else you can talk about on this? I mean, this guy is just killing it. I'm going to be so upset when he moves on to bigger and greater things in the future. But for right now, I'm just going to revel in this enjoyment that are Nick Markkanen goals.
How far out was that shot? I mean, it was just
20 yards.
It was just amazing.
Yeah, 20.
20 yards, which is a little bit, maybe 22, 24, just from the angle he took on that as well. So, a beauty. One of the best goals of the year, for sure.
It just kind of looked like he was messing around. It's like something in the backyard, right? Just like, but you're going to take it. Boom. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it's in the back of the net, top corner. Keeper didn't have a chance. I think the keeper saw it the whole way, Ryan.
Well, it's one of those things, too, where it's just like the Indy's first goal, where Graham slipped, made that little simple mistake, and gave him the space. For Indy's defender, unfortunately, his defending was pretty solid. It's just Nick has that ability to say, I'm going to shoot it regardless. You better know, or to come at me and dive to come get this ball, because if I shoot it, it's going to go in. And he put it out there on the table.
Yeah, you can't stop that. Even as a defender, what are you going to do? Slide at him? He has this ability to touch the ball a half a yard to still have his wind up and hit it. Like, it's insane.
The defender's arm length away from him. Like, he's tight to him. It's not like the only thing the defender could have done is either push him off the ball or to have tackled him. And Nick is standing over top of the ball when he shoots it. Like, it's not like he has the ball way out in front of him and he's running onto it to go strike it. You know, it's at his feet.
So enough about Nick, because I think he's just a flash in the pan. Nick the mechanic is just, he gets one lucky goal. Well, okay. Two really good goals last week, then one really good goal here. Oh, yeah, that's right. He got an assist earlier, right?
Yep. Yeah, just involved in all of them so far.
Stats are through the roof right now.
And I'm tired of seeing another player on top of everything and getting all the accolades when Nick is just, he is just beast mode and just every time showing up everywhere and giving assists and scoring goals from just incredible places. Well, anyways, enough about Nick, because I think we won't hear anything else about him the rest of the year. Could be wrong, but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe for like 8 more minutes.
Yeah, or maybe. I was a little disappointed it took so long for us to score a goal. And maybe Nick has held us up from that. Maybe Nick is the one holding us back. So instead in the first 8 minutes, we got 19 minutes. We'll talk about Nick maybe next week, if he does anything spectacular. Well, anything. So let's talk about the second half.
Yeah, not much for about 30 minutes in that second half. I mean, the chances were there. I will say there were a few better look chances by both teams, but nothing going in. So just a credit to the keepers on this, not necessarily defenders, but the keepers more so were keeping Indy in the game as well as us. And then we get into another set piece situation from a corner. And 75th minute, chances create goals, and we get an own goal off of this one, fortunately for us.
This is something that we teach the youth defenders to do. Simply, you don't want to face your own goal defending, right? It's just plain and simple as that. When you're facing your own goal and the ball is coming in, the most likely thing to happen, the easiest thing to happen is the ball just easily simply bounce right off of you and you carry the momentum and it goes right in your net. I saw the defender. He immediately turns, gives off of his knee. He goes right off of his knee, off of his chest, and his chest is pulled right at the goal and goes right in. It's just super unlucky for Indy, but very fortunate for us.
Yeah. So what Ryan is saying, Indy, is that your players need to go back to youth level and learn the basics.
I mean, if I was that keeper, I'd be having a word with my defenders afterwards. I'd be teaching them everything again. Well, if you're the defender at the back post, why are you even facing your own goal in the first place? You should be either backpedal to the line to clear it out or put a head on it to get it out. Like, there's no need for you to be facing your own goal in that situation. There wasn't anyone around him, really. He had about 3 yards of space around him. So he easily just turn your body the other way and kick it out.
Patrick, you're a defender by trade, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Why don't you do that?
You don't. That's the simple answer. You don't do that. You look like a buffoon. I'll be nice. I don't know what he was doing that far off. He was at 3 yards out, like sprinting back to his goal with his leg up in the air. What are you doing, man? If anything, fall to the ground and let the ball go by you, and hopefully it just skips past the goal. You don't touch that ball. That is bad.
Mr. King, thank you very much. We'll always use it as an extra goal. If you can put it in for us, then hey, I'll go for that. Before that, we had a couple subs coming on. Looks like we had Jake coming on for Gutierrez and Robbie, great Scotsman, coming on for Chris Allen. Do you think that changed any part of the game?
I think it sped up our offense a little bit, taking Gutierrez off. I mean, this is about the time we see him come off in previous games. Unfortunately for him, I think this was just one of his worst games where he really slowed our play down a little too much and tried to take it on himself without just playing the flow of style that we've been used to seeing these past couple of games. And I think it just hindered us, and that's why he came off.
For the record, I think Diego is really good on the ball. I think he's really good on the ball. Sometimes I think that people are so technically talented with the ball at their feet, sometimes they do kind of slow the play down a little bit if they're not passing it as quickly as we need. But I think Diego is fantastic on the ball. But I agree with you. He just kind of slowed things down on that side, which caused us a little problems.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's a fantastic player. I just think this setting, he gave us what he was going to give us. And I think just the style of play we were locked into. I mean, we weren't the clear-cut favorites in this game just from our chances created, shots created. And I think it was just time to maybe switch it up and let's go for the gung-ho and put this thing to bed.
Exactly right. As you just said, Pat, this is more of a tactical change than anything. He gave us what we needed in that game from him, and we got to a point where we needed to take him off because we needed to play this type of style against Indy now. We had to play the quick pace, the 1-2s, and going into that motion rather than more of the technical style, because there's going to be certain games this year where his abilities are going to shine and be amazing in those games. But right now in Indy on the road, him to come off and then to switch him out was a good move in that moment.
So, Ryan, what do you think Jake gives us that Diego wasn't giving us?
Well, the difference between Gutierrez and Jake that is very noticeable is that Jake comes to the ball always in a constant. He's always checking to, making the quick runs off of it, but staying short to make that space and always stay connected to the 1-2s. He's also not afraid to come back and put a challenge in.
Yeah, I think he's just that like workhorse you can turn to and say, hey, we need to close this thing out. I'm going to need you to just give me everything. And he puts it in there. And if he gets a card or something, you don't really mind because you see him kind of rile the guys up around him and be like, hey, pick up the pace a little bit. We have this. It's our game. Don't worry about it.
What does Robbie give us that Chris wasn't giving us?
I think it's just one of those change-ups with him of putting fresh legs out there on the field. Chris has been running up and down the field with the counterattacks against Indy, then us going on to the attack and everything like that. Thought Chris had a pretty sound game, and it was just time for him to just to come off and to put fresh legs out there and to close this game out. I think that's just what it ultimately came down to. At that moment, 65th minute, you're kind of looking for, hey, who's my most tired guy out there? Who needs a sub? Where can I put a fix in right away? Because you don't want to have your team slowly deteriorate and then last second your whole team is just gone and you're 2-0 down again.
Yeah, you're also just looking at like what's kind of the spot they're trying to exploit the most right now. Like they weren't going to the wing play, they were coming back to the middle most of the game, so you're naturally just going to get tired if your center mids are having to cover outside and back in, outside back in. And I think it was just exactly what you said, Ryan. Let's get some fresh legs on. Let's settle the game down a little bit in our favor and just kind of take hold of it for once.
So shortly after those two substitutions, like we said, we backtrack a little bit. We got an own goal. Thank you, Mr. King. And then I don't know who wants to talk about this.
I'm going to have to step away from this. I don't want to get stabbed later on.
The bromance continues. It's creeping us all out. It's creeping some listeners out. But go ahead, Ryan. Tell us about whatever MD does.
MD, the man himself, has done it again. The ability to hold the ball up with two defenders on his back. And guess what? He has now shown us the ability that he does not need to just lay off the ball anymore. He can now turn and take two defenders on, shrug them off with his strength, and put it top ends. Absolute class to shut out this game, to close it out. I was running down the street when I saw the goal.
Yeah, I was jumping up and down, trying not to spill my beer. But I will say, It's an awesome play from a striker. It just shows his strength and ability to just turn. And I mean, it's everything encompassed in a central striker in one play. The strength to turn, the ability to hold a defender off of you, and then also the skill to cut the ball back on two defenders and then pop bends it again on what was the stronger side for the goalie. So beautiful play. And huge shout out to Ikanza for the assist on that one. So he got his goal and he got another assist for himself in this.
We ended up wrapping up that match 4-2. Didn't start out comfortable, but it seemed at the end it was pretty comfortable. A lot of players come in there. Oh, I want to talk about one particular player. So when this season started out, Battery does a fan fest, season ticket holders, come in and get to meet. Last year was just a couple of players. They just put a couple on stage, got to meet. This year, they did a fantastic thing and brought in all the players. I think I was talking to Mr. DeSantos, and this young man comes running up, and he just had this grin on his face. He said, "I'm Matt Dean. I just signed with the Battery. It hasn't been announced. I'm so excited." And I was like, oh, this is the youth coming in. The other night, we saw him with his first start. So congratulations, Matt, for going in there and getting some couple of minutes in there. It's just spectacular. Coming all the way from Georgia, coming up here to join the team, academy player, and just his, his youth and just his enjoyment of the game just come through that first night. And I saw it on his face when he come in. And then when we waited around after the players come off the pitch, talked to Matt for a few seconds, and he still had that same grin on his face. And man, what a great thing to see.
Yeah, you love to see it. This is what every fan wants to see. A young guy getting in, getting some minutes, someone to root for, someone who's like, I don't know, Brad, every time we've seen this kid, has he not just had ear-to-ear smile, grin on his face, just the happiest dude out there? Like, I'm glad he
every time.
Yeah,
every time.
I'm glad he got some minutes on this. Like, I hope it's the first of many to come for him.
So, an interesting thing that we've talked about in the past, we've kind of batted around or kicked around, I should say, was the Torres versus Gutierrez comparison.
Yeah, I feel like it was a good move for this game to give Gutierrez the minutes. He's been working hard. Torres had the last two games. We saw what he's done. And I think it was time to give Gutierrez the start back. And, you know, with his time that he did in that 60-so minutes that he played, it was really good. Torres not even traveling for this game. I think he's getting rested possibly for next game, but I don't see him getting the start next game.
I have a little different opinion here, Brad. I don't know if you want to touch on it first, but I think Gutierrez in these certain situations is just kind of slowing our creativity down a little bit. You see it in our build-up play. We can build it up from our center mids and kind of kick it out, and then we force it back in and then back out. And then eventually we get it into a dangerous situation, i.e. the box or a shot right outside the box, or even win a corner off of it. And I think too much in this game, we just saw him kind of hold the ball a little too long as players are making forward runs, and then look to come back, but then look to go back on his own and not really lay the ball off. Whereas Torres, we kind of see a little more in these situations, plays a little more like Nick. He plays a lot more forward. He tries to just run in, get in a little bit behind on a defender first, and then brings his head up to look for something instead of cutting it back and laying it off. And I think we're going to see a huge difference in these two guys for this season, just for the games that they are picked. We can kind of predict what the coach is thinking in this moment of like, is there a weak spot to attack? Or is this a game where we need to bring the ball back and control it and like force them out a little bit with Gutierrez, or play Nick a little bit more in the center role and have Torres kind of take the role of men need to come out and approach him with the ball on the outside and create space in the center. So, I mean, it's a good problem to have, but I think for this certain game, I don't think this was the right call. I'd rather have seen Torres up there creating a little more space and a little more positive opportunity for us, because again, we were outshot in this game, and it's the first time that's happened. We were kind of just like on our heels a little too much. And coming from what we've seen in the past 2-3 weeks, it's not a step back, because obviously it's another road game. It's another win. It's points in the bank. But it's something we can learn from and move on in the coming weeks and see how we can utilize these two guys in different roles.
Do you think it's kind of a horses for courses kind of selection?
I think so. Like you can look at certain teams and how they line up, or is there an outside back that the center backs don't cover, and maybe you put Torres on where he just works in 1v1, whereas Gutierrez, I mean, he tends to hold the ball a little bit longer on the outside where Torres kind of directly goes at the guy. So like in those situations, you kind of know it's 1v1. If he beats him, we're going to get a good opportunity off of this. But I think we'll see that. We'll definitely see that coming up in some games here. And that it's just something to look out for. It's like, it's not an issue, but it is something where you can kind of look at the game and maybe we're missing him a little creatively in the final third for our team in this one.
I do enjoy that we have a choice of not necessarily like for like. I've mentioned that before, but two different players have two different kind of skill sets that we can use, you know, strategically against other teams based on what skills they have. For the record, I think all the battery players are awesome.
And Brad, just to touch on what you said again, this is one of the best teams the battery has had so far. And to have such a small roster as well, and to have literally every single player on this team, even on the bench, would be a starter on any team in this league.
Let's talk about team of the week. Emilio, all the energy he brings. Y'all have to agree that the energy brings to the battery, to the pitch, to after the match, everything, jumping on the nets down there at the south end. Emilio just brings a level of energy that most other players don't bring. And he was honored to be named as one of the USL Players of the Week.
Well-deserved. It's like a goal, an assist, and it's just the consistent play, the workhorse, like going, tracking the ball back, winning the ball to give it out to Nick, and then running off of that to get your goal. But like having the vision to toss the ball to MD Myers and be like, he's going to wrong turn this guy and get in behind. It's like how we talked about just like the battery playing in this more of a free flow. When you're happy and you're enjoying your football, things just start creating so easily for them. And I think he causes one of these center points where things just kind of go off of him and people are affected by it. Like off the pitch, this guy's amazing. On the pitch, even better. I'm just glad he got team of the week.
I don't know if you've seen Kaza after some of the battery helm games and how he interacts with the fans afterwards, but every time Emilio comes across that pitch and comes to the south stands to the supporter section with Borough Charleston, and he's cheering with us, he's going off with the drums and everything. And you know, I've mentioned before on this podcast talking about the yellow wall and everything and the energy that the supporter section brings. Ikaza is the definition of the yellow wall. He is the supporter section. He is the fan fest of the team. He brings that energy, and that's what he is there for this team. And it's vital to this team.
I think if you talk to any battery fans or even people who have been to a match or two, there's a couple names you can tick off and they recognize. Number one is our captain, Leland Archer. Everybody knows who Leland is, right? I think the next one right up there is Emilio. Anybody that's seen him last season, this season, he's, I don't want to say a franchise player, but man, I'd love him to stay around for as long as he wants to stay around because he brings that energy to it. Just not even just on his play, but even after the matches, it's fantastic. And it's so gratifying to see him score a great goal and make team of the week. So let's talk about the other persons that were listed on team of the week for the USL. And that is Coach Pierman.
I mean, just with this, though, it's like it's almost expected. It should be there. But Coach Pierman shouldn't care about this award. You know, this award should be meaningless to him. He's playing with a chip on his shoulder because he was robbed from last year. Coach Pierman, hands down Coach of the Year last year, was robbed by USL. These Coach of the Week, stuff like that. He's going to say, cool, this is nice. He's wanting that final, and he is bringing it to Charleston. If you go back and look at the battery, I said this on the first podcast, the smartest thing for Coach Pierman to have done is to have circled every single match, every single game that we dropped points in. And if you look at the games, the teams we've played last year compared to this year and the points we've dropped, we're already points ahead of where we were last year. Our goal differential is much better than what it was last year. I think we ended with like +5 or +6. We're already at +8, second best in the USL. you got to think he's playing with a little chip on his shoulder with this whole new team that we have with 19 players. Every single one of them can be a starter on any team in this league. It's hard not to imagine it.
And then there's one other player that rarely pops up in any scoring sheet, anything like that, and that is Nick Markkanen.
Yeah, player of the week. Is he not well-deserved in this one? How many bangers have we seen on goals from him? And not goals, assist as well. Like, this guy is everywhere on the pitch. You would think this guy is your center attacking mid, the way he distributes the ball and gets his teammates involved. So, amazing. I love this guy. Like, if there's one guy that you need to get a jersey of, get Nick's jersey.
No, I just have to congratulate Nick on a fantastic week. We got 6 points. He gets 3 goals on the week, an assist or 2 assists. It's fantastic. Keep our team rolling and let's keep this energy going. He's doing fantastic ever since he slotted out to the outside wing. I think that's his true home.
Yeah, he's just dangerous everywhere. And I think that's just, it goes back to Coach Pierman and his ability to recognize where players need to play on the field that helps benefit just not that particular player, but the team itself. And Nick, I think, is somebody that embodies that. Not only is he getting goals, but he's getting assists, which are goals themselves. So let's look back at what we've accomplished. I say we, our team, the Battery, is accomplished. First match, North Carolina away. We pull out a point. Second match, Oakland Roots. Wrestle out a point.
And last year we lost to them.
Finally, we get a home match and we just dump on New Mexico. So we get 3 on there. We go to 2 more away matches, Miami, Rhode Island. We come back with 4 points from there and then we return home. And the team that is kind of the Cinderella of the USL right now, Louisville, we kind of do a little thumping on them. And then we go away again, another 3 points.
Yeah, and so Louisville at home, that's another game where we dropped points last year. We gained it this year. Miami on the road, we've never won there in seven trips down there in Miami. That's another 3 points gained. So right there off the bat, there's 6-7 points more than what we had last year just off of these earlier results. And it's really good that we're getting these away results now because you get these away results nice and early. You get your team in form. Now the back half of the season, you're sitting at home resting your players. You got all your home games now. That's very dangerous coming to playoff time, especially when you get that high seeding and all of our games are going to be at home in the Battery. October is going to be a good month for Battery fans.
So we come off a win against Indy 11 and we move into another away match in Oklahoma.
Yeah, we just got another away match, unfortunately, and you guys are going to get so sick of hearing Patrick say, view at Edmonds Oast for the watch party, but once again, this will be our back-to-back watch party, and then we're finally going to have a home stint for more than one. So let's go out. Let's do a big watch party. Let's get excited. It's a 6 o'clock game. We're going to rough Tulsa up. They're going to wish that it was just tornadoes coming through and not the Battery. But regardless, let's support them. And then we have a banger back-to-back, potentially back home game. So we'll see.
So, Ryan, before you start talking, let's talk about Oklahomans, right? We have a couple of listeners out there.
I'd like to give a shout-out to the Papa Ronis family in Oklahoma. That's my brother-in-law's girlfriend's family out there in Oklahoma. So shout out to them. With Tulsa coming up, this is going to be another hard game for us. I'm predicting this game to be just like the Miami game for us to face. It's one of those struggling teams that's in the bottom of the West, but it's one of those teams that we tend to do play down to. Last year we did beat them both times, 2-1. It was those struggling wins. I'm hoping we can put them away earlier this year. Tulsa had a red card in their last game in the 16th minute against Sacramento. and then conceded a goal shortly after, but they did very well in the second half, playing a man down and getting an equalizing goal in the 70th minute. And that's against the top team in the West. And then the week before that, they had a 3-3 tie against Phoenix. So, you know, Tulsa sitting in ninth place in the West, they're playing actually pretty good soccer right now. They're just getting unlucky results. And I think it's going to be one of those brutal games for the Battery that we need that result in Tulsa.
Yes, Tulsa, another away game. Everyone's going to get so sick of hearing me say, Edmunds Oast, watch party, see you there, let's go, another W on the road. But I promise you, this is our last match party that we have to watch there for at least two games, maybe three games, because we have two home games coming up and potentially a U.S. Open home game coming up.
Yes, the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. It's one of the best traditions still going on in the U.S., been around since 1914, for the round of 32. Entering the round of 32 would be the top eight teams from the USL Championship from last year, and then eight teams from the MLS. Including that eight also includes the defending champs from last year, the Houston Dynamo.
Yeah, and just a little reminder, we have beaten the Dynamo, correct? Dynamo,
we have.
Dallas, the Fire, Chivas USA, San Jose Earthquakes. Got a decent record against the MLS, so don't be scared if we get matched up.
Yeah, and last year we made a deep run in the tournament as well. We made it to the quarterfinals, and we sadly got knocked out by Inter Miami pre-Messi era. In a result in Miami, just a 1-0 loss, and it was just heartbreaking. This year, I think we can make a deep run again. You know, if you look at it, last year we entered in the second round. This year we got an automatic bid to the round of 32. So coming into this tournament, five wins and you win the final. So Battery have a really good chance here.
So I'm going to go into one of my rants. I don't care about MLS teams, right? I think the USL is going to kind of rise up and be the league that everybody wants to play in. And so when the MLS did their little, I'm only going to provide so many teams to play in the U.S. Open, Lamar Hunt Trophy tournament. I think it was a snub at the USL at all the teams below that work really hard to try to get in this tournament and you know, get wins in this tournament.
A great point there. This has been going on since 1914. No one forget that MLS was formed in 1993 as a bid for the U.S. World Cup. So they don't have the high horse to stand on for this competition as the end-all be-all, what we say goes. They are a part of this. They can contribute or not contribute, or we will create a league to pass them up.
And I think that comes from U.S. soccer standing strong. U.S. soccer must put their foot down when it comes to this, and they did. And in my opinion, they still let MLS walk over them a little bit in a way, but America is now seeing what MLS is really about and what this tournament is. I mean, if anybody else other than an MLS team wins this tournament, it's going to be massive. And I think MLS really shorthanded themselves by only sending eight teams in.
This sounds like a great idea for some spinoff podcast for us. I'm a firm believer in the USL becoming a promotion relegation league and outperforming and surpassing the MLS. Edmunds Oast Brewing Company, last weekend, it was a blast. Had a lot of different people there. Some of the people that are associated with players watching the match. Edmunds Oast Brewing Company offered up some swag to hand out to some of the people that showed up. Had a great time. $5 pints. Do it again this Saturday night. Had a lot of away matches. Joey behind the bar, running everything, doing a fantastic job. Patrick, you have any questions of Ryan?
I just haven't seen him there. Are you going to be here on this one?
Unfortunately, I won't be there this weekend. I have a game to coach for West Ashley soccer. Hey, shout out to West Ashley Soccer tonight for senior night. Jose, my senior goalie, Well done tonight. Kept the clean sheet, 7-0 win. And young man, I look forward to what you'll be doing next year when you're continuing your academic and soccer career in Rome, Italy next year. Congratulations.
We're all doing soft golf claps for you, Jose. Congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Fantastic. Hey, when we started this journey, we discussed, you know, we're going to focus on the battery, but we also want to focus on some of our local teams, local clubs, local players, even at the youth level, high school level. So if you're out there, contact us on socials. If you're listening and you want us to talk about a little bit about your high school teams, and I'm talking about a particular young lady who coaches the JV team for Wando. Alexa, you know who you are. I think that's all I got.
See you guys out on Saturday night.
Peace, baby.
Bye.
Can you hear my cannons roar? Can you feel the thunder? We the fleet of Charleston come to put you under.
So, Ryan, before you start talking, let's talk about Oklahomans, right? We have a couple of listeners out there.
Oh, yeah. Let's give a shout out to...
You should probably remember your in-laws' names or whoever they are.
It's this long Greek
this
name.
This is their name.
Far from...
To all
no,
the Greeks.
No, it's not their name. Hold on, let me look up her name. Okay.
Paparonis.
Paparonis. Oh.